And welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, the show that connects you with the topics and people and issues that are important to you. Very important people to hear today from the Colorado Department of... Colorado Department of Transportation. Michelle, help me out. Michelle Pulin is here.
Good morning, good morning. We'll be the Colorado Department of anything you want.
You and I were just covering everything we need to talk about today.
Yeah.
And it's a lot.
It's a lot.
And also, Jory Ernst is joining us. Jory is with the Office of Emergency Management for Colorado Department of Transportation. And kind of a new world for Colorado Department of Transportation, which we're going to talk about, Jory, and that is helping in the wildfire fight.
That is correct. Thank you.
Which is fascinating. We're going to talk about that. But first, Michelle, let's talk about all the big stuff. Not that it isn't all big stuff, but there's a lot going on right now. Let's talk about in the Wetmore area and stuff like that. Let's talk with First. See, it's going to be one of those shows. Colorado 165. Now that is open. Now we're talking about the flooding, flash flooding that happened on Sunday.
Yes.
And that was a mudslide on Colorado 165.
165, we had a bit of a mudslide and we had it closed for a few hours on Sunday, but we're able to get that back open. There is still a lot of cleanup activity happening.
Okay.
We've got flaggers in the area making sure everybody gets through there safe. But CDOT lost a lot of our fencing in the flood.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to be putting fences back up. There's going to be a lot of CDOT activity right there on 165.
And you were basically saying because of like that mudslide, there's these trucks that come in, these large trucks, and they're basically like vacuums, right? And
they're huge vacuums, yes.
And they just suck all that mud stuff up. But when you get boulder-sized rocks in there, kind of hard. It slows down the process. They have a little bit of a challenge getting the
rocks through there. So we had culverts that were blocked by all of the material that came down off the mountain. You know, we had a fire there a couple years ago, and so it's still a burn scar. And when you have burn scars and then flooding, you have lots that washes down the mountain. So we have culverts that are blocked with all of that material. So we're trying to pull that out before we get additional rains that block it again and cause more flooding.
Yeah,
so
it sounds like for
the
next
couple
of days,
in that area.
It could be not good. And then that brings us to Colorado 96, again, affected by the rains on Sunday. But this was not a mudslide. This was a rock slide.
Correct. So right there at the area of McKenzie's Junction where Colorado 96 meets Colorado 165, we had a rock slide. And there's a pretty significant rock face right there.
Right.
So quite a bit of rock came down. We had a few smaller slides along Colorado 96 between mile point 16, closer to Wetmore, and 23.
Right.
And so it is closed. We don't want any traffic in the area. And that's for the traveling public safety. We don't know how safe that area is to travel. With weather, we may have additional rock slides. So we have our geo team coming in today.
Okay.
Hopefully they're there now, checking out the side of that rock face and seeing what additional rock needs to come down, what the safety aspect of it is, what kind of emergency mitigation we need to do before we clear the rock slide completely.
So it has been closed on Sunday, and it could possibly be closed for a couple more days.
Yeah, we have no idea at this point. We want to get it open as soon as possible.
Right.
But it will be closed at least at the minimum for several hours today. But there is a potential for it to be closed additional days.
And you were down there yesterday and you're heading back down there today.
Yes.
And you showed some pictures. And it's very interesting because like you were saying, until the geo team looks at it, the engineers look at it, they don't want to move any of that rock because that could trigger a bigger slide.
Exactly. The rocks that have slid down could be providing some stability to the rocks that are still on the face. So if we move those, we could cause an additional rock slide, and we don't want to do that until the professionals get down there and can tell us what's okay to move, what we need to wait. But we're going to put some barrier up and make it as safe as possible for the traveling public.
In the meantime, until Colorado 96 opens up again, what's a great way for other people to go?
You know, there's several different ways. You can go around through Canyon City or Rye. It lengthens your drive.
Right.
But it's such a beautiful area
to drive. We were just talking about that, how beautiful it is.
Take advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just plan ahead. Always check out our website, cotrip.org. See what roads are closed and plan your drive before you go.
And of course, you guys will let us know later in the day, everybody, what the determination is after the geo team checks out the rock slide, right?
Yes, we'll let you know as soon as we know what the plan is for Colorado 96.
Perfect. And speaking of rock mitigation, we're going to take a quick break. And there's a reason why rock mitigation is so important. We're going to talk about the rock mitigation project on Highway 24. We'll have that and much more with CDOT next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today, we're talking with the Colorado Department of Transportation. Joining us is Michelle Pulin. And coming up, we're going to talk with Jory Ernst. He's with the Office of Emergency Management for CDOT and their role and their increasing role in helping fight wildfires in and across the state. So we're going to talk with him. But let's talk, Michelle, rock mitigation work.
Yes.
And it just started on Highway 24. And it's extremely important, like we just talked about with Colorado 96. But I know a lot of people may not be happy with some lane closures and stuff like that.
Rock mitigation work is so important, but it's big.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't do it with, especially in on US 24.
Yeah.
We've got to close down lanes.
Yeah.
And that's vital. So we're trying to cause minimal impacts on the traveling public. We're trying to make sure that our closures are off peak hours, so it's just 8:30 to 4:30, and we're trying to make sure we're off the road before that heavy commute time starts. We're only doing work Monday through Thursday, but we don't want to get in the situation where we are on Colorado 96,
right,
where we're having to do emergency mitigation work, because that means full closures. And you look at the folks down on Colorado 96, they haven't had access to that road since Sunday.
Right.
And we don't know when we'll get access back to them. So think about what that would be like on US 24. If we had to completely shut down US 24 because of a rock slide for days. I mean,
well, and the possibility of somebody getting hurt.
Exactly. And that's even more important is injuries, fatalities caused by rock slides. We don't want to be in that situation. And that's why this rockfall mitigation project is so important. So it will go through October. And hopefully we can get it done and get out of there and cause as little impact and inconvenience as we can. But the reason why we're doing it is safety. And it's much easier to do it this way than an emergency situation.
And this is going up all of 24 from basically like Manitou Springs all the way up, is
it? Up to Cascade,
okay.
Yes.
Perfect. And then again, you said from 8:30 to 4.
8:30 to 4:30.
Okay. Perfect. I'm writing down all my notes.
And just Monday through Thursday. So there's no work on Friday. We pick up those lane closures. When we're doing work, we shift traffic, both sides of traffic, over into the outside lanes and do head-to-head traffic, reduce speed limits. So it does cause delays.
Yeah.
But we have to do that to provide a safe work zone for the people who are doing the work, as well as keep the rocks that we're working from falling onto traffic.
So when the GEO team is checking and doing their rock mitigation work, what are they checking for specifically? Like any, apparently, obviously, loose rocks.
Loose rocks.
Yeah.
What rocks have the potential to come down? And, how they see things, I have no idea. I mean,
right.
How they know that, this big giant boulder is going to come down. They'll know that it has the potential to come down. And so they'll bring it down safely. And it's a cool thing to watch because truly these are rock climbers. They're up there with ropes and just hanging on to the side of a rock face.
Right.
And it's very cool to see. And when they determine that a rock needs to come down, we do that by either jackhammering. And, we had a project down on Raton Pass last year where we actually got to do some blasting.
Wow.
That was amazing to see. But the other thing they're doing is if they can't take the rock down, they're also doing things to protect that rock face. They're putting up netting.
I was just going
to
ask about
netting.
Yeah.
Jersey barriers, things to keep those rocks, if they do come down, from going onto the roadway.
And I was going to say, I'm sure there's a lot of that is already netted, but I'm sure there's other areas they might look at and go, this needs to happen.
Or it may need new netting.
Right.
Or so they're doing whatever they need to do to make that roadway safer.
And of course, they can get info on this on the CDOT website.
Most definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just go to the CDOT website.
Yes. And for project information, the best place to go is codot.gov. MassMutual.gov.
Okay.
And then click on the green projects bar, and that will take you where you need to go.
And we were talking about this, and sadly, another fatality, traffic fatality this morning in Colorado Springs. And we're already seeing, this is not just in the Springs, but statewide as well, aren't we?
Statewide.
The numbers are way up.
Well, and actually, interestingly enough, we are not as high as we were last year.
Good.
But again, this doesn't include the fatalities we've seen in the region the last 2 days.
Okay.
So as of yesterday morning, we were at 300. 2017, this time, we were at 323.
Okay.
So we're a little lower, but we keep seeing these fatalities on a daily basis. One that just happened here in Colorado Springs a few hours ago. We had one, I guess it was Saturday night in Pueblo.
Yeah.
We had one last night in Pueblo, and so many of them are preventable.
Yeah.
I mean, people not wearing their seatbelt, people driving impaired, people driving distracted. If we do those things to make ourselves accountable, make ourselves safer, make those choices, we'll see those numbers decline.
Well, and it sounds like CDOT, Michelle, is getting ready to start there. And they do this, I think, annually. Their annual, especially in the more rural areas, the click it or kind of ticket campaign, right?
Yes, that started yesterday.
Yeah. And is that in all of Southern, in our area, or is it more rural communities where they're increasing patrol for that?
Yes.
Okay. You're like, yes. Yeah.
It's more rural areas. The two counties that they're focusing on are Weld and El Paso County.
Okay.
Yay. El Paso County, once again, is leading the fatalities.
Unfortunately,
yeah. For the year. So El Paso County so far has seen 39 fatalities. In 2017, El Paso County was the highest fatalities in the state. Hmm. And then Weld County also has the highest unrestrained drivers. So we're focusing a lot on those two counties for the Click It or Ticket rural program.
And this is in working with State Patrol, right, and other law enforcement agencies.
Absolutely. We work with law enforcement agencies throughout the state to promote this, to make sure that folks are wearing their seatbelts.
Perfect. And that's running through the summer?
Correct.
Okay.
We call the time between Memorial Day and Labor Day the 100 most deadly days on the roadways, because that's typically when we see a spike in fatalities, which it's so far proving true this year.
So buckle up.
Buckle up.
Slow down.
Don't drive impaired.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely not.
And don't drive distracted.
Perfect. Okay, Michelle, we got to take a quick news break. And when we come back, CDOT and helping with the fight against wildfires in our community. That's coming up next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking with CDOT. Michelle Pulin joins us, and she brought a very special guest. He's from the Office of Emergency Management for the Colorado Department of Transportation. Jory Ernst is here. Jory, I'm going to say it right. Jory, we want to make sure we say it right. Jory, how are you?
Very good, Renee. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so glad you were able to come in today, because this is something that a lot of folks don't know about, and especially with the spring fire. And the 416 and all the fires we've seen lately, it has been all hands on deck, including the Colorado Department of Transportation. But this, Jory, has actually been a long time in the works, hasn't it?
This has been. It's a program we started with DFPC, which is the Division of Fire Prevention Control, about 8 months ago. And they reached out to us looking at all of our equipment across the state, wondering if there was any way we could help out with them when it comes to wildfire season.
And then, sadly... This year, it got put into use, didn't it? And we're going to talk about that. But the process in involving CDOT, because it makes sense. You've got the equipment. What kind of equipment could be used to fight fires?
So originally, they wanted mainly dozers.
Okay.
We have roughly 10 dozers across the state, different regions. But then we mentioned that we also have motor graders, multiple motor graders, as well as our 6,000-gallon tankers, which we use in the wintertime, but they sit a lot of time in the summer.
So that all of that equipment could be used.
It could.
And now, like you said, this started, like you said, almost 8 months ago, and it's been a process is the best way to say it, warming people up to the idea. Is that the best way to say it?
That is. We reached out to our executives and just asking for what their idea was, what their thoughts were on this. There was a little bit of pushback at first, but then we started getting some more buy-in. At which time we asked for volunteers from our maintenance operators, who we know can operate this equipment, as to who would be interested in doing this kind of work. And we had overwhelming response with our operators.
So a lot of them said, yeah, absolutely, we'd volunteer to help with this, right?
Yes. A lot of these guys are living in small towns where they're volunteer firefighters on the side anyways. So a lot of these guys already have some fire experience, and other ones are just some amazing operators.
And I'm sure, Jory, the concern is, okay, if, and again, we'll get talk about what CDOT, how you were involved with the getting the spring fire under control. But I'm sure there's also concern by the higher-ups in, okay, but if we move all this equipment from one place to another, we're leaving that area without the equipment that they may need. Was that a big concern in the personnel that they may need?
It was, which at the time I told them, you know what, if we pull one or two guys from your entire area, hopefully we're not,
affecting it too much.
Affecting too much, yeah. Actually.
Yeah.
So when we reached out for the spring fire, we actually pulled from, I think, almost every section in the state, except for maybe Craig, which was quite a ways away, to get some volunteers and get some equipment from them.
And when the spring fire started, and of course, you know, there's lots that goes into this story, but the spring fire started, as we were just talking about in the break, how fast that fire exploded. What was it? We were saying it was a couple hundred acres, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 24 hours, it blew up to a couple thousand acres. And as we saw, it just went all directions and just kept blowing up. And that's when you got the call,
yeah,
didn't you? Like, we need all hands on deck.
So our Alamosa section got the call when the fire first started to start shutting down roads. So within the first probably hour or two, we had people on the roads starting to shut down Highway 160, Highway 12, because the fire was starting to affect those areas. So they were working around the clock for the first few days. They did bring out a dozer right away to start cutting some fire lines alongside of 160, trying to help prevent that fire from jumping over 160.
Right.
And then on Sunday is when I received the call asking for whatever we have, can we bring it?
And then that's when it was the mass dispatch, wasn't it?
That was mass dispatch, yep. I reached out to all the superintendents across the state and was saying, can I take these guys and can I take your equipment? And I had a lot of buy-in and everyone was all for helping out at that time.
So this CDOT, of course, ends up going, like you just said, to the spring fire. A lot of equipment you were able to get down to help with that firefight, weren't you?
So on Monday morning, they wanted it down there. So we were moving pretty fast.
Were you?
By Monday morning, we were delivering 6 bulldozers, 6 motor graders. And at that time, we already had one or two down there. As well as we started bringing in more of our water tankers at that time.
Right. So in all, what you said, I think it was 50 pieces of equipment. Is that right in total?
Between all of our traffic control, all of our water, everything like that, we were probably upwards of 50 operators and 50 personnel working that fire.
Wow. That's incredible. And it was, and I know we were kind of talking about this, Jory, in the break. Of course, you have to do what the fire bosses say, right?
Absolutely.
And I think for some, like you said, some of these guys, though, are volunteer firefighters, so they have an idea. But for some of the operators, it was a crash course in firefighting, wasn't it?
It was. And what DFPC did with us prior to this fire was they gave us a 2-day training.
Okay.
Just some basic fire behavior, some kind of intro into fire, as well as equipment operations during fire. So our guys got a pretty quick training on what they're to expect at the fire. But what we were looking at is having those professionals out there with our guys at all times.
So there was somebody, a firefighter with all the operators,
yes,
equipment operators at all times.
So when our dozers, right, when our graders were working that fire line, we made sure there was a hot shot or a fire boss that was there at all times with our guys.
So did the fire bosses have the CDOT equipment kind of more strategically placed in one area, or was it kind of indifferent? Because we knew that the spring fire, as we know, went in multiple directions at one time.
It did, and the fire broke up into 2 incident management teams. We had our equipment spread from one side of the mountain to the other side of the mountain, so they were everywhere.
And you guys, your crews, were basically working just like firefighters do, right?
Yep.
The long days.
They were working 16-hour days, not getting much sleep. And they were out there right side by side with all the hot shots out there trying to control this fire.
That's incredible. And I'm sure it obviously helped get this fire under control. And in fact, the crews from this have, except for some that are helping with some recovery efforts, right, have just got off the fire line, didn't they?
Yep. Sunday morning, we released our last 2 operators from this fire. So it was a full 16 days for some of these guys.
That's incredible. And they probably went home and finally slept for the first time, right? Like most of the firefighters.
Well, then they have their other jobs to do, so they're right back to work by Monday morning.
So what we're going to go ahead and do, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about CDOT being involved in possibly future wildfire firefights and how they're helping in recovery with the spring fire. That's all coming up on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. And welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. CDOT is here today. Michelle Pulin is here, and she brought along special guests from the Office of Emergency Management with the Colorado Department of Transportation. Jory Ernst is here. And we're talking about CDOT's involvement with the firefight in the spring fire. And that was very helpful, obviously, Jory. And this was the first time, really, like we talked about, though, CDOT, you know, wrote close roads, you know, and help with try and put fire breaks on Highway 160 and stuff like that. But this was the first time that CDOT was actually called in, like, no, we need you to help create a perimeter, really, right, around
that,
this fire.
That is correct.
And we were talking during the break, and you said, and I don't think I realized this, but one day during the fire, it consumed 8,600 acres in 2 hours.
Yes.
In one area.
I believe it was the 4th of July that evening. The winds picked up, everything started moving, and that fire ripped right through the forest pretty quick.
That's so scary. And now, a lot of, like you said, a lot of guys that were and crew members for CDOT that were on the fire line have already gone home. Sunday, for some of them, was their last day. But CDOT is also staying around, correct, and helping with the recovery efforts.
There is. And actually, as the containment got more controlled middle of last week, we were asked to go back into some of these ranchers' lands and maybe some of the windrows that we had created by cutting the fire lines. They were asking us to spread that dirt back out so that their cattle and stuff aren't going to be affected by it. So we spent a couple of days in there rehabbing some of their land.
And also, I'm sure, moving some of the debris, too.
Yes. So the trees that get cut down, we're going to be pushing them into piles so that the Forest Service can come back in later at another time and clean them all up.
So when you talk to some of the crews, because as you were saying, Jory, you were back and forth pretty much between all of the crews that were, you know, around the entire fire.
Yeah, I think in 2 weeks I drove about 2,500 miles.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Back and forth, right?
Yes.
What was the overall response? Because again, this was the first time CDOT was involved. What was the response from the crews, do you think, that were involved? I mean, because I'm sure some of them were just, I would be overwhelmed. I don't know about you, Michelle. Like, because firefighters and hot bosses and hot crews, you know what I'm talking about? What they see and do every day is unbelievable, but I'm sure for a first time, like, oh my gosh.
It was some of our operators, I mean, they've been operating for 10, 15, 20 years, and some of the stuff they did, they said they have never done before in a dozer. It was quite an experience, eye-opening for a lot of these guys.
That's incredible. So moving forward, being the first time CDOT has helped with this, you think this might happen and continue moving forward?
Yeah, we absolutely hope that this partnership that we're building with DFPC, obviously we have to set some thresholds mm-hmm. as to when CDOT's going to be called out, because, I mean, we obviously have other things with rock falls and roads blowing up. So
right.
We want to make sure that we're getting taken care of the highway functions. But, yes, we would love to keep moving forward with this, help out wherever we can, whenever we can.
Well, that's incredible. Thank you guys for all that you did and helping to fight that spring fire.
Those guys were amazing out there.
Yeah, and thank you to you as well. Michelle, are you going to be out there next time?
No.
Operating a dozer?
Nobody wants that.
That's what I said during the break, too. Like, nobody wants me operating a dozer. That's incredible. And have you guys shared it really quick, Jory? Have you guys shared, because all the guys and operators took pictures and stuff. Did you guys share some of those pictures?
I've been sending Michelle a lot. Matter of fact, she hasn't even seen my most recent ones that are of my dozer operators, which were quite amazing.
Yeah.
So I'll be getting them sent to her. We're going to put together something here for CDOT as well as the media.
That's incredible. So, Michelle, that's going to be coming out soon.
That will be coming out very, very soon. And look for our, you know, social media channels, and we'll have it out there as well, because we want to share this story.
Yeah.
And this is a great opportunity for these guys to be thanked. I mean, way to go to the incredibly courageous firefighters. But
oh, yeah.
It's mm-hmm. great to have CDOT right alongside of them and making a difference. And, you know, people don't realize that our job is to save lives and make lives better.
Right.
Not just on the roadways,
right,
but any way that affects the roadways. And these fires affect our roadways, affect our state. So we're here to protect it.
Well, and that's the amazing thing. I think we're very lucky in Colorado and with the relationships between different agencies, right? And Jory's like, yes.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think we're very tight-knit in Colorado. I hear about other states and other communities, which are not that much.
Yeah, well, yesterday, for example, mm-hmm. I was at the Canyon City Council meeting.
Yeah.
Where Canyon City was recognizing CDOT for the work that we did helping Canyon City get their liquid de-icing program off the ground.
Awesome.
So we're here to help our partner agencies. Our partner agencies are here to help us. And that's what makes this state so great.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. And we can't wait to see all those pictures and everything, Dre. It's going to be a big album, isn't it?
It's going to be
a big photo album. We can't wait. Okay, Michelle, before we wrap up for the day, any other big projects we need to be aware about with the Colorado? It's summertime, so I know that's really a rhetorical question, isn't
it? Yeah, you know, we've got so much going on. It's such a busy time. Obviously, projects are in full swing for us. Slow down in the cone zones. Yeah. Respect the cone zones. Pay attention to the speed limits. You know, we talked about US 24. We've also got projects going on Rock Rimmon and I-25, mm-hmm. A little further north on I-25. We have our Monument Creek Branch project, or Creek Branch, Branch Creek.
See, goodness, I'm rubbing off on you this morning.
You are.
I'm sorry.
We've got that project going on that's reducing speed limits on the interstate. Pay attention to those. We will have our GAP project, which is now going to be called I-25 South Express Lanes.
So it's not the GAP anymore?
It will no longer. CDOT won't be referring to it as the GAP anymore.
Well, you can't stop me.
You can call it the GAP. You can call it whatever you like. But we're hoping that we will have a groundbreaking for that project end of August, early part of September. So we're going to get that going.
And again, we kind of, you know, didn't talk about GAP, but the project will start in the Castle Rock area.
Yes.
Okay. And it's in three stages. Castle Rock area, then more down to El Paso County than the middle. Right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So where can they go get all the information on,
you know, the best,
the not GAP now?
Yeah. The I-25 South Express Lanes project. You can get all of that information on the CDOT website, which is codot.gov. And for immediate up-to-date travel alerts, please go to cotrip.org to find out what is going to be impacting your travel plans. Because obviously everybody's still traveling for the summer.
Yes.
So if you're planning on going to Wetmore, West Cliff area today, plan around that.
Right.
And you never know when another wildfire, flood, natural disaster is going to pop up.
Yeah.
And that's going to affect road closures. So always check it out.
I love cotrip.org.
Isn't it great?
I check it every morning.
Well, and I'm addicted in the wintertime to checking our snowplow tracker.
Yes,
I do too. It's so cool to see all the little snowplows all over the state.
And it moves on the map.
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, you guys are incredible. And we'll Jory, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Renee.
And thank you for everything that CDOT did, all the operators did to help fight that spring fire. It's incredible.
Awesome.
Great crew, right?
We do. We have the best guys around. Best guys and gals, and we're just a great team. So go Team CDOT.
That's awesome. Thanks, Michelle. And then coming up tomorrow on The Extra, Pikes Peak Library District is going to be here. So much to talk to them about. They just celebrated 50th anniversary of the Penrose Library. We'll talk about the past, what's happening now, and look ahead to the future. That's tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.